So, well, good morning, Willow.
Good
morning. My name is, for those who don't know me, my name is Cliff Moore, and I'm filling in for Pastor Scott. He's doing his chaplaincy with the Air Force Reserve in Clear Lake this weekend, and so every couple of months I fill in for him and appreciate the opportunity. So those of you who don't like it, come back when he's back, because he's better than me at this. But anyway, I'm filling in. I'm cheap labor, and I enjoy getting to do this, and I appreciate the gang back there in the booth having to dig through and recover between the first service and the second. Are you pointing, or Jay, you pointed down because he made the mistake. Okay. Okay, let's make sure we get it all out of the open. Okay, so apparently we had a major crash and burn, but a quick recovery. I'm assuming notes and stuff are good. Okay, good. So, all right. So, I go out on occasion and do this in other churches, not just at Willow. And it's interesting some of the places you go and the expectations you run into when you go to a place you're not familiar with. There was a church in Sargent that I went and did a message for one time, and they asked me to basically do the whole Sunday. So I did a prayer meeting, and then I did the adult Sunday school, and then I did the worship service. I kind of found out about the first two items on Saturday evening. So I was winging it, and I can wing it okay, but I'm nervous to notice, I'm driving into the parking lot. It's the first time I've been at this church. And I pull in, and I'm kind of praying, Lord, I know this is, it's going to work out okay, even though I'm very nervous in the moment. I opened the door and I told the first service that I had literally just barely made it in the door, and there was somebody waiting for me. Her name was Patsy. And Patsy was waiting for me. And I don't think she was waiting to shake my hand. She said, "Are you the person filling in for Pastor Kearns?" And I said, "Yes, my name's Cliff Moore." She said, "Well, I'm Patsy. And this is how we do communion at this church." And she proceeded to explain to me how we were supposed to do communion at this church. So I came in trying to figure out how I'm going to do prayer meeting and how I'm going to do the Sunday school, and then how I think I got the message. I was already ready for that. And now, what do you think's in my mind for the first 2 hours of that day? Just don't bungle up communion. Because if I bungle that up, the rest of it's just going to be worthless. But I think I survived because Pastor Kearns asked me back a couple more times. Coming into a place of worship that you're not familiar with can be challenging. Some of you may be visiting today and you're kind of wondering, what's this all about? And again, give it a second shot with Scott here and you get a better picture of everything. But, when I pulled around the corner and into the main parking lot today, I saw Danny's vehicle there, and I saw Jennifer's vehicle there, and I saw Doug's. And I was immediately at peace because I got family here. And regardless of whether the video crashes and burns or whatever, we're going to make it through. Because I got support. Some of you may remember way back when I did my first message, this microphone failed, and I had to use a handheld mic, which didn't have good batteries in it. So they'd go to second handheld mic, which had major feedback, so we had to turn off the monitors up front. And then the air conditioner failed. So when the pastor leaves, stuff happens. We got to wing through it. We got to get through it. But, I get support here. I have people who I can come in and hand Danny my flash drive, because I don't know if you know it, but the slides are supposed to be in like Wednesday or Thursday so they can be loaded. But I got a job on Wednesday and Thursday. So my slides aren't ready until Saturday evening about 5:00. And so I got to bring them in, and that team back there is always gracious. I hand them a flash drive and say, "Can you stick this in?" And sometimes my slides need doctoring up because I inevitably use the wrong font, as much as Darren has tried to teach me. And today I tried. I think about you every time I do this. You got good wisdom on how to get those slides right and so you can read them. Hopefully folks can read most of that. I tried to go around the white font with black outline, Darren. So I get support. People support me. You know what? Support is love. We're told to love each other. And one way you express love is supporting folks. When I handed Danny the flash drive, he didn't say, "Well, you were supposed to have this in on Wednesday." He said, "Brother, how can I put that in? Is there anything else you need?" I said, "Actually, yes, I need a picture inserted in there too that's not in there right now. can airdrop that to you and you make that happen. And you know, Danny's doing that. And we got a new mic. It seems like every time I get up here, there's a new mic. And I don't know how many of you have used one of these things. It takes adjustment. And I'm like, another one? I just got used to the other one. And so Doug helped me out. Doug fitted me, got back there, and I don't want to knock it off because it's worked perfect. I didn't take it off in crosstalk because I was scared. I'm like, it's working? You know, people are looking at me crosstalk. What's that? But I wore this the whole time because I'm not taking it off. But, you know, Doug got there and he helped me out. He supported me. You know, that's where we're looking to move Willow. Forward to family. Say that with me. Forward to family. That family supports each other. Friendly gets to know, but family's there. How can I help? That's the difference. How can I help? If you can end your interactions with individuals that way, you're moving to family. That's our idea of doing that. So, you know, where are you at in that journey from friendly at Willow to family at Willow? Last week in Crosstalk, we did a little exercise to pull up your, so you do that with me now. Get your smartphones out. Do this with me. Pull out your smartphone. Pull up your contact list. Okay? All right. I don't see everybody moving, but I know more of you have smartphones than that. All right, so get your smartphone out and start flipping through the contact list and just make a note. How many people on your contact list are from Willow? Just kind of take a look. Who from Willow's on your list? Now, the reality of what's on my contact list, there are people in there who've been there, like, not just from Willow, but everywhere, who aren't even in the area anymore, and I just never clean them up. But, you know, what we noticed is individuals who've been here a while have a pretty good list, but the newer folks have a shorter list. It varies, okay? All right? But I want you to now go with me to your favorites list. Now look at your favorites list. Who are your favorites? And how many of those people are from Willow? Because your favorites list is your go-to community. People make it on your favorites list because they're people you count on, you believe in, and you reach out to. And they're also people that believe in you, that can count on you, and that can reach out to you. That's family. The big contact list is friendly. Favorites list is family. I've been blessed over my time here at Willow to build some family relationships. People who I know will be honest with me, will be there when I call and not just screen it and say, no, I'll let it go to message. Who will speak life into me when I need to hear that? You know, Bill Winiford, I've talked to him a couple of times when I had questions about how to lead a group at work, how to lead a group of technical people. He and I have had some discussions about secular music. That's something I've had a lot of questions in over my life. What does God say about it? How do I filter that? What do I need to do about the secular music in my life? And I know that I can talk to Bill, and Bill will share wisdom with me, and Bill cares about me, and if he says, I'm going to pray for you, he's going to go before the Father on my behalf. Bill's on my favorites list. You know, Dax Watkins, he mowed my yard while I was laid up for 3 months. He took care of my pool. I didn't have to ask him. He knew I was in need, and he showed up. That's family. Danny and Cheryl called us and said, hey, we need you to come sit with us. And we've called Danny and Cheryl and say, Danny, Cheryl, we need you to come sit with us. Scotty and Susan growing to be family with us. And there's a story behind Scotty's little photo up there. If you ever stop and see, I'll share that with you. Anybody know what Aquanet is? Okay. Okay, there's cans of Aquanet that's his symbol. You want to know just... He may be willing to share with you, but I will share with you why that's on there. You know, so Scotty encouraged me to get out there and run, get healthy, do those right things. I enjoy his friendship. That's moving from friendly to family, and I've been blessed with that. And the reason that I'm championing or been actively engaged is and from friendly to family is for what you see on that screen. It's my hope that for every one of you here in Willow, you develop those kind of relationships with the people in the pews around you. Because we need each other. We need God, but God ministers through you and I. We need each other. And that's my hope, is that you're engaging in this time and you're working with each other, learning more about each other to fill out your favorites list with people from Willow that you can count on. And these 40 days that we've been going through with Scott and with Rick in the videos in the ABFs and small groups, it's very rich in content. I don't know how many of y'all feel the same way, but for me, I mean, there's in each one of these 25-minute videos and this thing that Scott shared, there's a lot of meaningful things that I don't want to forget. So I've been keeping a list of those things that either Scott said or Rick said that I'm like, that is really, really good. I don't want to forget that. I need to spend a little bit more time on it. I mentioned in Crosstalk that we're going to go back through this study more specifically on the discussion questions after the videos are done, just to dig in a little bit deeper. And I've been building this list, and I'm going to share that list with you today, because a little hint for you, in seminary, I've never been there, but I've talked to folks who have, so secondhand info. But one of the things Scott was telling me about the importance of repetition in your message, that we need to hear something 7 times before we commit it to our subconscious. If you get it to your subconscious, it'll be there for recall when you need it. Otherwise, it gets replaced by something else later this afternoon. So you've heard some really good things over the last 4 weeks, and I want to go over at least the ones that I heard that resonated with me and share them with you. Talk about how to put those into practice. I'm going to start those. I just do those in some simple truths. That's what I'm going to call them. I like sound bites, 140 characters or less. I can remember that. So I keep it simple. And you know, I'm going to share those, about 8 of those with you today. The first one, truth number one, is words without love are a meaningless noise. So this occurred the first week in the first video. Words that are not backed by love, by support, by kindness, by patience, by gentleness, those things, they're really a meaningless noise. Who likes noise? Anybody wants to crank the noise up in their life? No, probably not. Noise is not necessarily recognized as something positive. But our words are noise when people can tell we really don't mean it. You remember Scott talking about the EGR people in your life? Anybody remember what EGR meant? Extra grace required. You know, I'm probably an EGR to somebody, maybe more than one. Sierra's smiling back there. When Rick said this in the first video, immediately there was a work group that's on my team at work, a group of folks, about 14 of them, immediately came to mind. And I consider them EGR because they're routinely negative and complaining and victims. And you want to talk about my hot buttons, I'm just not a fan of complaining and being a victim, okay? And so, you know what happens whenever you get with people who just turn you off? You turn them off. You dismiss them. And I had dismissed this group for about 3 years. They work in my group. They're important to my organization. But when we get together, all I hear is just, and so I just click, turn them off, wait for the meeting to get over, and just get out. You know what? They can sense that. People that you dismiss know that. When you dismiss somebody, you marginalize anything they say. You don't put any value on the words that they share. They know that. Well, I heard this. Words without love are meaningless noise, and I realized that's what I am to them. I'm meaningless noise. Now, I don't know how many of you want to be labeled like that, but that doesn't sit well with me. But I realized, yes, they could quit complaining, but I could change my attitude too. Well, you know, the Lord is really good about identifying an opportunity and then giving it right to you. So on Sunday, I get the video, and then Scott, of course, reinforces it, so I know that I'm a noisemaker. You know, I picture like the New Year's Eve, you know, whatever. I'm a noisemaker to them. Well, I have a meeting with them, just me and them, that Tuesday. Just so happened. You know, the Lord brought that together, and it's okay. So I said, well, Lord, if, let's try to dump it back on him. Okay, so if I'm meaningless noise, what are you going to do about the meeting on Tuesday? You know, he's like, well, you're going to listen to them. And I said, well, I've listened to them, and I know where this always goes. How many of you had those conversations? You always know where that's going to go. So you're already playing it out in your head. And you may as well not bother showing up. I said, no, you just listen to them. Put some value into the words they say. Write the words they say down. How many of you are tactile learners? You write down something and then it commits it to memory? That's what a tactile learner is. I'm a tactile learner. He said, just write down what they say. So we get to the end of the discussion and I give them the open-ended question, so what's on your mind? And I pick my pen up and I begin to write down what they tell me, and I make the list of 4 or 5 bullet points. And about the third bullet point really hit me, because if that's what I'm asking them to do, if someone asked me to do that, I'd be really annoyed. But up until now, I hadn't seen it through their eyes. What sounded like a reasonable expectation on my part, if I have to live it out in their condition, was quite unbearable. Matter of fact, it was almost a catch-22. It was almost asking them to do something that just really made no sense. But they knew they needed to follow my expectation, right? So I'm putting them in a tough spot. I didn't realize that they were in this tough spot till I listened to what they told me. So I put their 4 or 5 points down, and then I stopped. And I said, okay, tell me, if you were in my shoes, what would you do? They kind of got silent. And one of them got brave enough to speak, and he said, I would really appreciate it if that happened. I would try to make this happen, which is an idea, something I wouldn't even thought of, like, whatever. But it was important. So I made my notes, and then we left. And I spent the rest of that week working on the 4 or 5 bullet points they gave me. And I made substantial progress on 2 of them. More progress on those 2 than I had made in 3 years with that group. The following Monday, one of them sent me an email. And he said, I don't know what you did differently, but keep doing it. They notice. When you dismiss somebody, they notice. But when you turn it around and you put love behind your words, it makes an impact. You know, Jesus said something in truth number 2. He more than saying it, he lived it. He said, relationships are more important than accomplishments. Anybody besides me feel conflicted with that? How many of you went to school? In school, what was more important? How many people you knew or what grade you made? How many of you went to college based on how many people you knew? In sports, is it all about the sportsmanship or the wins and losses? How do you advance to the playoffs? By being the friendliest team? No. How about at work? Boss, I made a whole bunch of relationships this year. Didn't get my goals done, but everybody knows me and they like me. No, it's not germane to Western culture. You and I are growing up in, live in, work in a culture that's driven on results. Results are very important. Jesus says, you know what? People are the center. If you're going to write your goals around people, around relationships. Well, that's The challenge, how many of you are people who are goal-oriented, love to check the box every day, say, I got that done, really love the power of scratching something out, saying, that's done. Amen. I mean, you know, I start the day at zero and try to get as much done as I can of that day. And if I didn't get enough done, when I go home, I create a problem so I can fix it, so I can check something off. So there's a lot of you that are like me, okay? So in a culture that's results-oriented, this relationship thing is a challenge. I found a little something this week I could do. You know what? I can make a list of relationship things, and I can scratch those off each day. And it feels just as good. Who did I engage with? Who did I encourage? Who did I teach today? Who did I recognize today? Who did I smile at today? You know, those of us who are accomplishment-oriented, we can turn this around. But it's a challenge. It requires you to value the people that are around you. And that takes an effort. It takes a mind shift change. It's not about getting done what you need to get done. It's about working with people. And in the end, getting the things done that need to get done. But being done in a way that's meaningful and lasting to those around you. The reality is that relationships and results are not mutually exclusive. How many of you work completely alone? The reality is, if you and I are going to be successful both at work, at school, and in the kingdom of God, we have to have cooperative and collaborative relationships. So Jesus is trying to tell us that you don't have to do it alone. You need each other to do that. As a matter of fact, in the congregation, we need to focus more on our internal relationships than anything else. What did Jesus focus on when he was here at Earth? Who did he pour his life into? 12 people, right? They spent 3 years with on-the-job training with him. That was his focus, because who was going to carry the kingdom on when he left? So relationships are important for you and I. Friendship, according to Rick, friendship is the number one reason people accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. It's through friendship, the power of relationship. Rick says this, he says, love is a command. And I put that in all capitals because it's a command. It's a military thing. It's a you go and do. He says it's not optional. Rick said it's like an expectation. How many of you feel good about having expectations on you? Some of us like expectations. Yeah, I mean, some of us don't like expectations. Some of us feel like it's a burden. A must do. Anytime I tell you you must do something, you must eat your broccoli. At my house, it was green beans. I'm not a green bean guy. I didn't get excited about that idea. Okay, so sometimes for us, this idea of an expectation can feel more like a burden. And we feel more weighed down by it than inspired by it. But when I heard this, when I heard Rick say this, I really heard it like, you know, a command is something a person in authority gives you to carry out. So if he gives me a command and he gives you a command, it's something you can go do. I got encouraged by that idea. That means I can go carry love out. I'm command. It's something I can go do. Matter of fact, what I have up there for you, the 1 Corinthians 14:1, very inspiring way to look at this command, that we need to go after a life of love as if our lives depended on it, because it does. But we go after love. We go after, we pursue it. It's not just a command, it's an adventure. It's something you can put yourself into and go after and get excited about. You know, you never know what's going to happen when you step out in love. Some of the craziest and most amazing encounters we've ever had, think about it, have happened because we stopped to get to know somebody. We stopped to express love of Christ in some practical manner, and we learned some things and we experienced some things that we'll never forget. It's an adventure, getting out there. It's not just a command, it's not a burden. The distractions in your life are really opportunities. You just gotta see them. Rick says you gotta look at and see the need that comes out of the distraction. That distraction may be God just raising a hand going, love of Christ needed here. You're the one who can do that. Bring it in and see what will happen. You know, you and I express kindness just by doing the simple things, by taking my flash drive and putting the PowerPoint slides in for us this morning. Danny showed his love. You and I can write a thank you card, can open a door for somebody, can smile at someone, can make a meal, can be generous with our tip. Every day we have opportunities to carry out that supreme command of love, and you never know just how impactful it is on the people who receive it. It's that important. It can be life-changing. Something you consider relatively simple can be the thing somebody needed that day to know that there's something of worth. You know, there are people, if you heard the term, they're unloved. But Rick challenges said there's no one unloved. There's just those who don't feel it, don't know it, aren't receiving it. Everyone's loved. God is love, and God loves and created everyone. Sometimes it takes you and I to get out there to let them know that they are loved. All right, truth 4A, now hint, that means there's a 4B, okay? But we are plan A, and there's no plan B. Do you remember that? Rick mentioned that, Scott mentioned that. So look around you, plan A is in this room, and there's no plan B. For 2,000 years, God has not changed the direction he wants to take his people. You and I are the conduit to bring the message of the gospel out to a dying world. That hasn't changed. How many of you are intimidated by that? I mean, it's a little bit intense. We're plan A. He doesn't have plan B. He's not going to go back out and do something different. You know, I also see it as God's expression of supreme confidence in you and I. Think about that. Regardless of our own challenges, he believes enough in everyone here to place the responsibility of growing the kingdom in our hands. How many of you believe he was confident in Abraham to go start a nation? He was. Called Abraham and said, look, go to a land I haven't told you about yet. Get up, mobilize, and go. He was confident in Abraham that Abraham would carry out his plan. He was confident in Moses and confident in Joshua to take that nation into the promised land. Moving to the New Testament, he's confident in John the Baptist to prepare the way for Christ's initial visit to earth. He has that same confidence in you and me. That's how he's written the plan. The plan is for you and I to go be his conduit of love. He trusts us at the same level that he trusted Abraham, Moses, Joshua, and John the Baptist. Hopefully that encourages you. It encourages me to know that our Creator believes in me. He knows me. He knows my challenges. He knows the things I fall short in. But that doesn't cause him to change his mind and find someone else. How many of you ever found someone else to do something? You went somewhere and the product or the thing you got wasn't what you expected, so you said, no, I'm going somewhere else. Do you go back to that other place? Probably not, because you don't have any confidence in them. What if Christ treated us that way? No, he believes in us enough to say, you know what? Regardless of what happened on Wednesday or Thursday, or pick whatever day you had a bad day, and you reacted and you expressed and you didn't necessarily throw the love of God around, in spite of that, you know what? You're still plan A, and we're going to do this thing. I'm going to help you if you'll engage with me. But if there's a 4A, there's going to be a 4B. Something Rick said really set in me, and maybe it will with you. If we don't carry out that plan, guess who will? The world is more than ready to carry out their plan. He said it like this. He said, think about the lost and hurting right around you right now. If you don't meet their physical need, who's going to meet their physical need? They're going to go to someone, and whoever meets their physical need, guess what they're going to do when they need the spiritual need met? They're going to go right back there. So if Willow and other churches and the body of Christ does not meet the physical need of the lost and hurting, we're not going to meet their spiritual need either. The world is alive and ready to meet their needs. What happens if the world meets the needs, physical and spiritual, of a lost person? What happens? It's an eternity in hell. That's why Jesus went around feeding people with fish and bread. If you don't meet their physical needs, you're probably not going to get the opportunity to meet their spiritual needs. So that we're plan A, and as plan A, we desire for the lost and hurting to come to God. In order for them to get there, we got to go to them. We have to be more accessible and more accepting than the world. How many of you worked in the public shelter during Harvey? How many of you, anybody here work in a public shelter? Then how many of you, did any of you happen to work in Willow Shelter too? Was it different? So I was talking to Kim Figueredo. I don't know if Kim's here right now. She was in the first service. Kim mentioned, so she worked at one of the county shelters, and then she worked here, and she said, you know, when I went to the county shelter, the training was like, don't hug them. You can't pray for them. Can't touch them. You really find out what they got to have right now. Get that. We'll get them ready. And we'll get them back out of here. How was it in Willow?
They referred
to Willow as the
Willow Resort.
There you go. At Willow, we can hug them, can't we? Yeah, so that's the difference between how the world wants to meet the need and how we as a church are equipped to meet the need. So if we don't get out there and carry it out, they're going to get it somewhere. But what they get isn't going to lead them to where they need to be. We belong together. Say, I'm a belonger. If you type that in your computer, it's going to try to spell check belonger. Apparently, that's not in the English dictionary. Okay, but Rick said this, and I really like this. I'm like, guess I never really thought of myself as a belonger. We think of ourselves as believers. How many think of yourself as a believer? It says if you think of yourself as a believer, you need to get to where you're a belonger. If something belongs to you, you take care of it, don't you? I have a weed eater that's 18 years old. Okay. When I first moved, it still works. It's a good question. So when I first moved back down here in 1997, we bought a house in Audubon Woods, and I went down to Lowe's and bought a Toro weed eater. And that lasted about 4 months before it wouldn't start anymore. Then I had to go buy a little carburetor replacement kit, and it lasted about 2 months, and then it wouldn't start anymore. And I went and did the same thing, lasted another 2 months, wouldn't start. I'm like, piece of junk. So I called up Billy Johnston, who owned Honda Power and Equipment. I said, Billy, what do you got? He said, look, it ain't going to be as cheap as Lowe's. He said, but when you pull that string, it's going to run. So I went down to Billy's, and I paid about three times more than I would have paid. Not because Billy's expensive, because I bought something of quality. I still have that one, and it still starts on the first floor. I take care of that. It's an investment. It wasn't cheap. But I haven't had to buy a new weed eater in 18 years. I take care of that weed eater. I clean it up. Every spring, I grease it. I change out the cutter hub about every 3 years. I change out the fuel filter and the spark plug. You take care of what belongs to you. Think about that for a minute. Do you take care of each other at Willow? That's where we need to be. We belong to each other. We take care of each other. We value each other. We look into the interests of each other. We bear with each other. We put up with each other. We feed each other. We take care of each other like family does. You know what the difference between being a believer and a belonger is? It's commitment to each other. That's the difference. It's a commitment that you and I make to each other to take care of each other. So who are you committed to at Willow? Who do you pick up? Who do you bear with? Who do you give a ride to? Who do you get a meal to? Who takes care of you? Who calls you up and asks how you're doing and wants to know if they can pray for you? That's what we're working towards, is to increase that level, that population within our congregation. Hopefully that sounds good to you, something you desire. Maybe you're experiencing that. The idea is to grow that. I'm not naive, because I know in my Wednesday night groups, when I'm talking to them, that not everybody feels that way. Not everybody who's here is experiencing that same thing I just talked about. So we still have opportunities to grow. It requires a commitment from each other to be a belonger, to take care of each other. Truth number six is we are to celebrate each other's accomplishments. That sounds good, doesn't it? All of y'all celebrators, who likes to celebrate? Anybody like to celebrate? Party time. I like cake, strawberry cake. Love it. If you want a celebration, tell me you have strawberry cake. I'm there. We like to celebrate. We're supposed to celebrate each other's accomplishments, and we may do that. You know, it's easy to celebrate somebody in this congregation who's experiencing success in an area that you're satisfied in. That's easy. Way to go. Good for you, because I got that too. What about they get something that you don't got and you want? You're going, way to go. I'm happy for you. Huh? I know better. You know, Rick challenged us. He said, we're not to be secretly competitive with each other. We're not to do that. That's not a real friend. A real friend celebrates enthusiastically and excitedly with you regardless of where they are in the same matter. That ain't easy. Jealousy likes to raise up, doesn't it? Jealousy creates a lot of petty behavior. Have you noticed that? Petty behavior, things you're just ashamed of later on. That's what jealousy does. But we're challenged with changing that attitude. I mentioned to you back in August that I picked up running, started running a couple years ago, and it's taken me a while to get to the point where I can tolerate running and do it. And I got a group at work who does this thing called Map My Run. Anybody heard of Map My Run? Under Armour app? Okay, so they invited me to join their Map My Run. Now, I warned them, I'm on a sundial. They're on a stopwatch, so that's, you know. So expectation setting immediately, kind of like me playing golf, okay? We set that expectation real low, real quick. Okay, so they invited me to do it, and we started this challenge, and it's distance-based, so it's not time-based. It's just how much you run in a 30-day period, okay? And I'm gradually trying to increase the distance that I run, and at the same time, really trying to make some improvement on how long it takes me to run that. But I noticed I was running the same distance they were. We were all running 5Ks. It was just taking me twice as long to run it. I asked them, can we change the challenge for how long you run a month? You know, at first I was a little bit envious of them. I'm like, how can you run a 7-minute mile? How do you do that? I got out there, I just decided one Saturday morning, hey, Wendy, I'm gonna go out and run 1 mile as fast as I can run it. That's all I'm gonna do, just 1 mile today. I ran in 8 minutes and 37 seconds and was dying. There was an hour and 15 minute recovery on the patio. It was a terrible return on your investment. Man, I'm looking at them and they're running a 5K in 7 minutes and 2 seconds. I'm like, oh, how do you do that? But you know what? Because I'm into this running thing and I'm trying to stay healthy, I was impressed by what they were doing. I didn't find myself angry that they could do it. What happens whenever you're angry about someone's accomplishments? You like start getting chippy. You get snide in your little comments back on Matt My Run, like, well, that was easy for you. No. I was genuinely blown away by the doing and excited for them. I'd sit down and talk to them, man, how'd you do that? Tell me about it. What kind of shoes do you wear? What do you help me? What are you doing? I mean, being excited for someone, they can feel that. It lifts them up. A friend wants you to win. regardless of what it is you're investing in. You know, that's an important piece for you and I here at Willow, is to learn how to celebrate each other's accomplishments. This next one I'm not going to spend a lot of time on, but I feel like it's important to share so that you and I get grounded on this topic of gossip. When we hear the term gossip, we probably picture someone. We may not picture ourselves, but there's an easy check you can do, and it's like this. If you're talking with a person about a problem involving someone else, and the person you're talking with is neither a part of the problem or part of the solution, that conversation is gossip, and you need to stop it. Can I get an amen? All right, enough said on that one. All right. Went a little bit too far there. Okay. Truth number 8. Tough love doesn't run when your feelings get hurt. I just stepped on my own toes. How many of you reserve the right to be offended? Yeah, I wear a Cowboys cover on my phone. There's some people that just get offended by seeing that. Okay? Probably each of us reserve the right to be offended at some level on something, okay? If you don't put gravy out with chicken fried steak, I'm probably going to get offended. Okay? Tough love doesn't run when your feelings get hurt. That's a whole lot easier said than done. But Solomon gives us some wisdom. Solomon says, look, it's to your glory to overlook an offense. How many of you want to be glorious? That sounds good. Okay, don't be offended. Matter of fact, he goes on to say in Proverbs that it's royalty. You're at the level of royalty if you let stuff slide off your back. Now, I like the idea of being regal. That sounds good. El Camino de Real needs to be where my house is. The road of the king. The road of the king doesn't get offended. Next to busyness and fear of rejection, the biggest obstacle to community in a church is personal hurt. Next to busyness and fear of rejection, that personal hurt factor keeps us from getting close. Whether it's perceived or real, doesn't matter. The hurt's there. The hurt leads to separation. We get challenged in Scripture. That's not the way it should be. Tough love doesn't run. Tough love keeps no record of wrongs. Think about that for a minute. Probably somewhere you got a record that needs to be scratched and thrown away. Scott mentioned this in his sermon, that somebody got historical with them. When you get historical with someone, what are you doing? You're going back in time and reminding them of something. Okay, we're challenged. You need to let that go. Well, what happens if the wounding was real? It wasn't just the fact that they're not Cowboy fans and they don't like me because of what I have on my phone. Okay, what if it's more real than that? I mean, what if it's a wound? It's painful. They were still challenged to forgive. Last week, week 4, the biggest part of that message was we're to forgive others as God forgives us. How many of you want unlimited forgiveness? I want that. Not unlimited data doesn't compare to unlimited forgiveness, does it? Okay, what do you got to do if you want unlimited forgiveness? Forgive others, because to the measure that you judge, what happens? You're going to get judged to that measure. That doesn't sound so good, does it? You know, in Crosstalk, we were talking about this last week, and Janet Pickering made this comment. She goes, I don't use the word forgive, because I'm not exactly sure what that looks like. I use the word pardon. I don't forgive others, I pardon them. The reason for that is a pardon is releasing the debt. That's big. That's a clear expression of forgiveness. It's not easy to pardon someone, but it's a whole lot better than walking around with a bag of resentment. All right, so I got an application alert. If you still got room left on your notes, this is the time, if you haven't, pick up your pen, because I got a couple of things that hopefully are meaningful to you. But we're going to wrap this up with some thoughts here. My grandfather used to tell me that you can't catch fish if you don't go fishing. Yep. It applies to a lot of things. These truths are not transformational if you don't put them into practice. You keep seeds in a container on a shelf, they don't grow. You don't do something with what you're hearing, then nothing's going to change. You know, Rick doesn't mind stepping on a few toes, does he? Rick says, look, James 1:22, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. How many of you just want to be deceived? Sounds good. Call me deceived. Well, if you just listen to the word and you don't do it, guess what you are? You're deceived. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. 2 Corinthians 9:13 says, our deeds should be as good as our doctrine. Galatians 5:6, he says, for you and I in the pews, for you and I who are in Christ, nothing else matters except faith expressing itself in love. Expressing is an action. Take a look inside your bulletin at our two affirmations. You can pull that out if you open up your bulletin right inside the first page. Are our two affirmations from Friendly to Family. That first one says, I intentionally engage with others to reflect the love of Jesus. Second one is, I share my life with my Willow family to build deeper relationships. You notice both of those are action statements. I intentionally engage. I share my life with my Willow family. It takes action to move forward to family. Community is not going to happen because Scott and Doug and Alyssa and Susan and April do something magic up here. Community happens when us, I say that because I sit in the pew right over there most Sundays. Community happens when you and I start taking action based on the content we've been receiving. Our words have got to sync up with our actions. And you know what? What you believe is best seen by how you behave. So if you begin to do it, you believe it. If you don't, you just heard it. And so deceive yourselves. I want you to answer these questions internally right now for yourself. Over the last 4 weeks of 40 days of community, now we're into week 5. Over that time, what have you personally done to build community here at Willow? Who have you engaged with? Who have you reached out to? Who have you gotten to know? Who have you added to your contact list? Some of you have some awesome testimonies to share. Some of you may say, I'm struggling a little bit with answering that question. Well, the good news about that is, look, you're not alone. It's not always so easy to do that. But I'm going to share something that Alyssa and Doug shared with me this week. And I know it says Doug up there. Oh, it changed to Alyssa. Excellent. This is Alyssa and I and Doug and Scott were texting back and forth as I shared with them. Look, I'm going to try to go a little bit into how to take these things into practice. And Alyssa shared this. She said, look, it's a process, which means it's not instantaneous. You're not suddenly a community. You're not suddenly a community builder. But a process also says you're engaged with something, moving it forward one piece at a time. One conversation, one handshake at a time. But you know what? Good things are on the other side of awkward. Doesn't that sound right? That's true. Good things are on the other side of an engagement. Or maybe the fear of rejection or whatever it is that keeps you from engaging. It may be slow, but one interaction leads to another interaction and another interaction. And without really recognizing it, pretty soon you're into living life together, doing things for each other, taking care of each other. You're moving forward to family, just starting from a simple exchange. But that exchange is intentional. I intentionally engage. Takes each one of us to do that. Now, over the last 4 weeks, I've gotten the opportunity to meet Cody and Daryl. Michael and Bailey came and visited Crosstalk last week. I've learned a little bit more about them. I learned a little few things about Cody you might want to know. Kind of interesting today when we did a little people bingo and Crosstalk. No, he doesn't want you to know. Some of them are pretty good. I've gotten to meet some other people. I got to meet a gentleman named Larry. And Larry sits in front of the subway in Freeport most times about lunchtime. Larry's an amputee. He's lost his right leg below his knee. Larry bounces around between shelters and homes. I didn't really go to meet Larry. I went to get a sandwich. But I kind of couldn't avoid Larry because he put himself in front of the door between me and that sandwich. You know, I stopped. I said, hey, I intentionally engage. Okay, I'm going to do this. Hi, I'm Cliff. He didn't want to shake my hand. I had to kind of keep it there. He reached his hand out on the other side, awkward. We shook hands. I've gotten to know Larry. This week I go and I see Larry. He knows me now. He sees me coming. It's an easy exchange now. I look forward to a few minutes of conversation. He looks at me and says, you know, I'm having a real struggle getting my food stamps. I've been moved out of shelters and two houses and in and out, and my address, can't keep that address, and then my stamps don't get to me, and then I can't feed myself or my dog. He's got his dog there with him. And he looks at me and he starts to weep with me. He goes, you know, I'm tired of begging. I don't like this. I don't like where I'm at. This is not what I want to do. I said, I know, Larry. Let's talk about how we can move from here to where we could be. So Larry and I are working on that together. We're going to see where this goes. But you never know what's going to happen when you reach out. I'm confident God's going to meet Larry's needs. But I went there for a sandwich. Okay? Good things are on the other side of awkward. Are you willing to step with me over awkward? So let's look at some practical ways that you and I can do that right here within the body. All right, so these are some things that hopefully are meaningful and easy for you to right now, today, when you move out of here, or even before you move out of here and you move in there, you can start taking some action. The first one is be the change you want to see. If you're the one that wants to get connected, go connect. Don't wait for it to come to you and then judge the church because it ain't happening. When I first came to Willow in 1997, I made it known that I want to get involved. I told anybody and everybody who listened, I got stuff to do, I got things I can offer the church, I want to get involved. Linda Fields came and grabbed my arm right down where Paul's at, right about there, and said, hey, we're starting up a new ABF, why don't you come help us out? I've been in Crosstalk ever since. I made it known I want to get involved. Somebody needed help, reached out to me, and it was a life changer for me and my family. In year 2000, I was having a conversation with my wife in the kitchen, and was talking about, you know, I got friends who go on annual golf trips and hunting trips and fish trips. How come I never get to go on any of that stuff? Nobody calls me and wants to go do that. I'm like, I don't really want to know the answer to that. It's probably some reason. But my wife goes, you got a boat. Why don't you arrange a fishing trip? Why don't you be the change you want to see? So I did. I arranged a fishing trip, and we've gone off and on over the years, 10 times in the last 15 years. We've gone, a group of us, different people. But as a result, I've met 6 or 7 people here at Willow and grown really close to them as a result of spending time, because I was the change that I wanted to see. How many of you always had that conversation? Hey, I'd love to get together sometime. Oh, me too. And then keep on going. Follow-up's critical. Change that conversation. Instead of, I'd really love to get together, say, what time's good for you next week? Most of us got to eat. It's a great opportunity to get together over that. You know anybody who's sick? I just mentioned to you Carlos's wife. I didn't move around too good. It's probably something we could do for Carlos and his wife. Rick said this and stuck with me. He said, you know, you could tell a mature believer takes care of the sick. Who do you know that's sick? Go do something tangible to help them out. How many of you have that little, hey, how's it going, as you're walking down Willow trying to get somewhere? Hey, how's it going? And don't really wait to hear what they said. Yeah. What happens whenever they reply, not so good? Do you keep on moving? You know, the opportunity here is to stop and look someone in the eye and say, how's it doing? How you doing? Give them a hug. If they say not so good, sit down with them. Figure out what's going on and how you can help. Join an adult Bible fellowship or a youth Bible fellowship. Look, this is simple. You want to get connected, that's the connecting point to go deeper with somebody. Growth requires commitment. Period. It's a great opportunity to get out there and do that. Things are wide open right now. It's easy during the video time. I know Crosstalk, we've had a number of people come in. It's exciting for the class when you get some new folks in. So take that opportunity to go join something. Pardon someone today. Release the debt. Release the resentment. Opens the door to community. Accept someone today. Encourage them. Get to know them. A handshake and a smile goes a long way to accepting somebody and making them feel welcome. Celebrate someone's successes today. Tell them you're proud of them. You're excited for them. It makes a big difference. And finally, the last couple of ones here, invite someone to Willow this week. 80% of the adults who come to faith in Christ do so because someone invited them to church. That's a pretty good statistic, isn't it? 80% of folks who come to faith as an adult. Carol and Eldon, wave your hands there, Carol and Eldon. They got a really neat testimony. If you get an opportunity, I encourage you to stop and talk with them and get their testimony. They came to faith in Christ because someone invited them over to their house to a small group, right? They're great folks, great for the kingdom. Now they spread the kingdom message. You know, there are several folks that I'm going to get to run into in heaven because I invited them to church. That's a cool legacy. It could be your legacy. There's plenty of information out there. You can grab a business card, an information brochure about Willow. Hand it to someone this week and say, I'd love to see you there next Sunday. I'll be waiting for you. Because in here is the message of the good news. Volunteer together. Getting out and doing a project together creates camaraderie, connects each other at a deeper level. Shared experiences really accelerate friendship growth, and there are still plenty of opportunities out there to get going. Again, don't wait for them to come your way. Go find out and drag someone with you. Get that going. Finally, invite someone to do life with you this week. I mentioned to you that busyness is one of the main reasons that we struggle with connection. Well, how many of you got to go to the grocery store? How many of you right now have a car? How many of you got a car? Okay. How many of you got the oil light, change oil light lit up, and you got a message, it's time to change the oil? Come on, there's. Okay. You and I need to get together, because my truck needs it too, and we should go there together, and we can spend 20 minutes talking at least, right? It's that simple. Do life together. Fight off busyness, because each of us need a grocery store. Each of us need to go get our oil changed. We all got things we're going to do. Do it with each other. May sound silly, but you're going to go do it anyway. Why don't you kick busyness out the door and do it with somebody at Willow? Invite someone to do life with you this week. So I'm going to close this out in prayer. When I do so, you're dismissed. But you're dismissed. The opportunity is to go through those doors and take some action today. Community doesn't happen without our involvement. And I'm going to close this out in prayer. Lord, I believe that this church, that Willow, is good soil, and that good soil bears fruit, much fruit. And our heart's desire, as expressed through a survey last year, is we desire to be more connected. So help us to achieve our own desire, because that desire furthers the kingdom. Sounds like it's consistent with your will. So Lord, help us move past awkward and get to the good things that you have in front of us. Encourage us to build relationships. Prompt us to stop, to ask questions, to get involved. And give us the grace and peace necessary to carry it out. Encourage us in ways we've never thought of about how to engage with each other. Lord, each of us were brought here for such a time as this, and we belong to each other. Well, I pray that we would care for each other. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.